Let's talk today about the benefits of being single, because I've had quite a few of you messaging me being like, Chidera, Slumflower, Chidi, Goddess Gina, if you will. I've been reading a lot of your stuff on the Patreon and I've been taking it in and I start to think, well, this all makes sense, but I don't know if being single is going to work for me. What if I cave in? What if I feel lonely? What if I don't enjoy it as much as you make it seem to be? And I would love to just demystify everything that seems to be looming over our heads when it comes to discussing intentional solitude, especially in the realm of dating, when you know that your standards have raised and your expectations have raised and you're in a place where you feel ready to live a life that matches your desires. So we're going to dive straight in and talk about why being single is important to begin with before we discuss the benefits of being single. And this is not some sort of like 101 infomercial to sell you singledom. I'm not here to change your mind on anything. I'm simply here to be a positive, encouraging echo chamber for those who are already considering embodying the sentiments that I believe in. Just want to make that clear, because sometimes I feel like people tend to misunderstand my tone as me trying to force them to do things the way I do it. Not everybody is going to be able to do things the way that I and many other people do it, for a multitude of reasons, including being codependent, being in a place where you're simply just not ready to be that particular version of yourself, being someone who prefers being in relationships for reasons that I and other people may never understand. But the point I'm making is discussing being single, right? And why singledom matters. Well, first of all, it's about exercising choice. And it's about not seeing being single as this state of abandonment, or seeing being single as a result of nobody picking you. Because that's what I think a lot of women perceive being single as. They almost see it as, I guess I'm just here in the corridor of uncertainty. I guess I'll just linger around and loiter until someone picks me. I hear women say a lot of things like, oh, people always say to me, see, that's why you're single. That's why you ain't got no man, because you're too masculine. Because you're just too smart. Because you're too successful. And my rebuttal to all of this is, if people believe that you being too smart or you being too successful is the reason why you don't have a man, what does that tell you about men then? It tells you that you need to dumb yourself down if you want to be able to have a man in your life. It tells you that you need to shrink your achievements if you want to be able to have a man in your life. Does that sound appealing to you? Does that sound better than being single to you? Does that sound like a fulfilling life? A life you have to downsize yourself for? It may be argued that, yes, there is truth to the idea that a woman being too empowered can scare a man off. Of course it would, because most men get by on asserting dominion over women. So of course, if you are a woman who is empowered and has power, you're going to have fewer options of men. Even if you are in spaces amongst men who have power, because a lot of men who have power, whether that's financial power, whether that's physical power, i.e. they're like really built and really tall, whether you're in rooms with men who are successful in their careers, a lot of those men, if not most of those men, enjoy being the powerful one in the relationship. Even the ones who love the idea of being in a power couple, those men still seek out women who they're doing better than those women to a certain degree. So what I mean by that is, let's say I was a millionaire actress and I've just done the launch event for my Bulgari campaign And it went well, and we got the red carpet photos, and all the celebrities came out to support me at the after party, and my boyfriend was there. Yeah, but like, you know, in this story, my boyfriend would have to, he would have to be some sort of Hollywood film director who's making four times what I'm making in order for that relationship to be balanced in his eyes. Because if I was the millionaire actress who has just launched a multi-million pound deal with one of the biggest luxury brands in the world, most men would feel intimidated by that. And the intimidation isn't from a place of, oh no, she's gonna beat me up. Oh no, she's scary and she's gonna be mean to me. The intimidation is, I don't know how I can assert masculinity over here. I can't run nothing round here as a man. So the only way I'm gonna be able to occupy space in this woman's life is to neg her. Do you not know what negging is? Negging is a word that's going to be coming up quite frequently in this podcast, in future episodes, because it is a thing that men do and it has to be referenced a lot of the time for context and to keep the people them vigilant. So, what is negging? And how does this link into the conversation of being single? Negging is when you're a successful woman and a man who probably has sometimes just as much success as you, most times not as much success as you, or even oftentimes more success than you, makes you feel like, yeah, you're good, you're great, you're cool, you're pretty, but there's something that you're just not good enough for him about in his eyes. So examples of negging could be, let's say you're a musician and you show him an unreleased song of yours. You're proud of this song. By the time it's reached the ears of him, like, you're happy with it. You're just showing it to him for the sake of just testing out how someone else would consume something that you've made that you're proud of, right? Which is something that I know a lot of musicians do. You showed him your music and there's this sense of him being unimpressed. Like, if it's a weird feeling of like, you almost put, you're put in this position where you feel like you have to seek his validation. He makes you feel like you're not good enough. And oftentimes it really be the men who are not good enough for you that make you feel like that, because they want to chip you down to their size. They want to bring you down to their level. This is what most men are doing to women. So the women who are successful and the women who are like ultra mega beautiful by the world's standards, they're going through it, guys, I'm telling you. So don't be coveting what you're seeing on Instagram. And by coveting, I mean, don't be looking longingly at people on Instagram and wishing you had their life. Because a lot of these women who don't have the tools that people like myself have, and those tools I'm referring to are, you know, psychological tools to be able to observe what's happening around you and not internalize it. A lot of these women don't have those tools. A lot of these women, they're beautiful, they're successful, they're getting the likes, they're getting the cash, they're getting all the things that you'd expect someone who looks like them to have. But they are not mentally at peace because they feel like, oh, I don't have a man. Or they feel like, oh, but I always intimidate men with my greatness. So they're in this mode of constantly making themselves smaller amongst men who they want to be with so that they can experience this final boss level of success, which is finally having a man. Because as a woman, you can have the degree, you can have the career, you can have the accolades, but if you don't have the man, then everything that you've done is disregarded and reduced to, yeah, she has it all, but she doesn't have a man despite it all. And it's like, why is the man so important, guys? What is it that men are doing that makes it so necessary that we must constantly add that into the mix when we are defining a woman's happiness or success? Whilst you ponder on that question, I would love to remind you, if you are new here, I have a Patreon. Did you know? Are you aware? You may be missing out on the funsies. I have a Patreon. Yes, I do have a Patreon, and it is called the Slumflower Hour. I have a one-tiered system on my Patreon. And that tier is called The Disobedient Deviance. Yes, because we are very disobedient round here. And the level of disobedience I am discussing is the type of disobedience that I feel would cause problems if I put all this stuff on the main feed of my podcast, which you're probably listening to right now on a streaming platform, possibly Spotify, possibly Apple, possibly Amazon, possibly Google, wherever you get your podcasts from. Over on my Patreon, patreon.com/theslumflower, I dive deeper into my sentiments regarding patriarchy and surviving patriarchy. Through various mediums, I have a 65-page guide called The Dilemma Manual. A guide based on people sending me their anonymized stories that are dilemma-based. Should I or should I not? Should I keep the guy? Should I leave the guy? And in that 65-page guide / manual, I use those people's situations to give insight as to how you can maneuver certain situations with guys, whether it's your best friend might be jealous of you because you have a rich boyfriend, whether it's some guy wants to fly you out, but he doesn't seem as responsive to his messages, but he's really keen on spending time with you. What should you do? Should you go? Should you stay? How do you maneuver getting the most you can out of him whilst protecting your safety? Aside from the 65-page dilemma manual, I also share exclusive podcast episodes that are way too raunchy and risky to put on the main feed, which is why they belong on the Patreon. Because if you see my Instagram comments section, you'll be aware that it is a dumpster fire half the time. And it ain't me starting the fire. It's men complaining, whining, whinging. Oh, this is so mean to men. Oh, this is misandry. Oh, but what if it was the other way round? It's always the other way round. That's called patriarchy, you potato. I also have a system in place where I share thought streams twice a month, roughly between the 15 to 19-ish minute mark. They're considered mini episodes. I like to call them mini-sodes, where I just spit to the camera, to the microphone for like 15 to 19 minutes on a particular topic that you guys have been pressing me about. I love doing those because it gives me room to just talk about things that, again, I don't feel as comfortable talking about on the main podcast, because I'm just not trying to make myself a target for more violence than I need to be enduring. I also have a voting system where you can vote for what the next podcast episode will be. In the past, my Patreons over at my Patreon, patreon.com/theslumflower, have voted for the Self-Esteem While Dating podcast episode. They also voted for the Women of the Zodiac podcast episode, which, if by now you haven't heard it, I suggest you go and have a listen to that. That is 2 hours long. That is the longest episode I've done so far on this podcast, guys. You can tell I had way too much fun. Imagine talking by yourself for 2 hours. Is that not unhinged energy? Yes, it is. But it takes a level of not being hinged to be able to make a podcast like the Slum Flower Hour, because it's about existing on the margins of society and feeling at home outside of the norm. But what it takes to feel comfortable being outside of the norm is a level of insanity. And I love it here. So if you're curious about being a part of the Disobedient Deviance, why don't you come join me at patreon.com/theslumflower. I hope to see you there. Now let's get back into this episode on why being single is a fucking benefit and why you need to give it a go. So as I was talking about negging when men try to chip away at your self-esteem, I want to remind you that this is something that women are dealing with, and these are successful women. Like, I meet all kinds of successful women, yeah? Like, I'm talking those who have the money I aspire to have, those who have the careers I aspire to have. And when I talk about men with them, it's usually the same kind of conversation. And I find that very validating and affirming, because it reminds me that I'm not insane, and neither are the women who come to me with their problems, or the women who I end up in discussions with who have similar experiences. This is a global issue. Men are globally insecure. Men are globally insecure. And they get by, like I said, on chipping away at your self-esteem. I've always said on this podcast, and I'll continue to say it, There are men who the only reason why they know what a pussy feels like is because a woman felt low enough about herself to allow that man access to her body. Can you let that sink in? No, really though, open the door because the sink is knocking.
I hate myself so much.
No, but guys, really, let's deep it though. Let's be real here, because people think that being single is a state of abandonment and no one has picked you. What about being single is a state of I've picked myself? What about being single is I legit choose me? Like, you guys are just not fascinating enough or interesting enough for me to abandon the life that I'm already enjoying living. I know exactly what would make me stop being single. Until I see it, I'm satisfied with my life. And men refuse to believe that. Like, it's interesting to see the ways that men just avidly avoid believing that women are happy being single. They be in the comment section, oh, you're going to be lonely forever with this mindset. You better get ready to buy your 9 cats. First of all, Peter, with the hole in your boxers and the poo-poo in your bum crack, I'm allergic to cats. So I'm going to be super alone. Peter, thank you for reminding me that I'm going to be alone. Like, guys, I'm actually allergic to cats. Can you please stop telling me to get cats? I would literally die of allergies. Are you asking me to die? I'm going to report you to Meta if you tell me to get cats again, because that sounds like a death threat, okay? But the point I'm making is, like, I don't feel alone. Like, I'm single, but I don't feel alone, guys. Like, I engage with men on a different level to the way most women engage with men. So the way that I engage with men sometimes feels like I need to take like a 4-month break from interacting with men. What I mean by that is, and here we go with the dominatrix stuff. Oh my God, here she goes. Ooh. I don't know why I always feel so cringe when I talk about being a dominatrix. I think it's something to do with, like, I don't want to glamorize the lifestyle or make it seem like everybody needs to become a dominatrix if they want to be empowered. That's not what I'm saying, but it's important context. So as a woman who enjoys dominating men, I feel like when I engage with men in that capacity, I need a break, because men are a lot. I don't know how people just willingly bind themselves to men like very quickly. Because I've done that before when I was younger. And when I did that, it wasn't from a very sound place mentally. Meaning that I wasn't making a decision from a place of really knowing exactly why I was doing it and exactly why I really wanted to have this man in my life. It was from a place of, I kind of wanted to feel like I was part of something. Like, I wanted to feel like I was part of this club of like, yeah, I have a boyfriend too. Mm-hmm. You can't just be having boyfriend for the sake of having boyfriend, okay? Boyfriend is not Jacquemus bag that's trending. Everybody wants the trending Jacquemus bag of the season. Do you remember when there was a time when the trending Jacquemus bag was the Chiquito? And there was the Petite Chiquito and the Grand Chiquito. I have the Grand Chiquito. Still love my Grand Chiquito. It's baby blue. I don't carry it that often, but the bag is very nostalgic, reminiscent of the 2019 era. Now there's a different Jacquemus bag that's trending. I don't know what she's called. Oh, it's the Riviera, I think. It's like rectangular and it's got a vertical strap that goes down the middle of it, a buckle. That's the trending Jacquemus. So you go get yourself the trending Jacquemus bag and then you feel like you're part of something. But the reality is that's not the same as like getting a boyfriend for the sake of getting one so that you can feel like you're a part of something. Like, men bring baggage into your life. Jacquemus bag does not bring baggage into your life. It brings handbag into your life. Baggage and handbag are not the same. One is empty, the other isn't. Baggage is somebody else's insecurities, somebody else's identity, somebody else merging their self with you, whether it's physically or like psychologically. It's a lot of stuff, guys. Like, I've been seeing women taking on men's problems and in my head, I'm like, girl, you actually be better off single, you know? But because your perspective of singleness is that it's abandonment and it's boring, you're stuck in a cycle of making really poor dating decisions. And also another thing that I think that's really fascinating about women who date men is like, you lot don't know how to leave men because you've never really left before. It usually ends up being a case where you either like drift apart, or he cheats, or he ends things, or on the brief or odd occasion that you end things, there's this sort of boomerang thing where you still kind of go back. So you're sort of loitering and lingering in the corridor of each other's lives. There rarely is an instance where I come across women who have super firm boundaries with ending things with men. That's one thing that I've gotten really good at over the years. I'm very proud of my ability to walk away. Am I always proud of how I've done it? No. Okay. I have been very wicked and mean in the past. Sometimes I've taken it too far, but I have learned as I've gotten older to not be too emotional when ending things with men. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real life situations. Plus, they're delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. And this is why Babbel works for me. As a pole dancing girly, as you might know, I enjoy going to Berlin to pole jam with my friends. And over there, German is a language that's spoken. And even though I studied German in secondary school, I've forgotten quite a bit of it, which I'm embarrassed to admit. However, when I use Babbel out there, it's super convenient for me because I can learn real life conversation skills, and it's easy for me to just pick up on the words I need to order food, ask for directions, speak to salespeople without having to scroll on language apps or feel that embarrassment of freezing mid-moment when you forget a particular word. Something I particularly find really useful about Babbel is their speech recognition technology, which helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. So in the spirit of us glowing up our language skills this year, here's my gift to you. I present to you a special limited-time deal. Right now, you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only if you're listening to the Slumflower Hour, though. So you can access that at babbel.com/slumflower. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/slumflower. That's spelled babbel.com/slumflower. Rules and restrictions may apply. So maybe 2024 is your year of being a multilingual baddie. Well, Babbel's your friend for that, because Babbel is helping millions of people like yourself quickly and confidently have real-world conversations in a whole new language. I don't know about you, but I'm in the mood for brushing up on my skills, feeling confident, and trying out new things. I've actually got a fun fact to share about Babbel. Did you know that Babbel's personalised learning content, real-time feedback, tracking and visualisations help keep you focused and motivated? That's why 15 hours with Babbel is equal to one university semester. Just think about that. All it takes is just 10 minutes a day for you to learn everything you need to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to culture. All accessible on Babbel.
What I mean by that is, I'm not saying I regret any of the men I cut ties with, because at the time when I cut those ties, the ties needed to be tied. No, wait, the ties needed to be cut. the time when I cut them ties, the ties needed to be cut. Like, you had to go, homeboy. Like, it's enough. Okay, like, let's be going. But in terms of how I went about it, guys, I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a Sagittarius sun with a Gemini moon. Not only do I have a Sagittarius sun with a Gemini moon, I have my Venus in Scorpio and I have my Mars in Virgo. If you are not familiar with astrology, this sounds like gobbledygook jargon to you. Let me explain. When you have a Sagittarius sun, that means you are a fire sign. Your ego, your personality, fiery. When you have a Gemini moon, like I do, you're very cerebral in how you maneuver your emotions. You are an overthinker. You talk a lot. You be writing very mean things over text. Yes, especially when you have your Mars in Virgo, because your Mars sign, depending on where it falls across the zodiac, tells you how you behave when you're taking action. So when you have your Mars in Virgo like I do, you're a very mercurial person, coupled with that Gemini moon. Both Gemini and Virgo are ruled by Mercury. Mercury is a planet that governs communication. It's a very cerebral planet. So when you have your Mars in Virgo, the way that you maneuver handling conflict can be very, very, very awfully shady and mean, because you're detail oriented in how you go about things. You know exactly where to hit someone where it hurts, because you have gathered enough specific details and information about them to really go for the jugular. Having a Venus in Scorpio doesn't make that any easier for the person on the receiving end of the blows that you are dealing, because Venus is a planet that governs the way you are when you are in love. So when you have strong feelings for a person and your Venus is in Scorpio, you have a blade in your mouth. You know how to say things that are awful to someone. You also know how to switch off the connection from a place of power tussle and possessiveness and control, coupled with that Virgo and Mars. Sorry, coupled with that Mars and Virgo, because Virgo is quite a controlling sign too. Sorry, Virgos, but you guys are very controlling. Sorry, I would know this because I have a Virgo placement too. Control is a huge theme for Virgos. You want to control how people see you. You want to control how people behave sometimes when you love them, because from a place of insecurity and possession and fear, right? So when I'm breaking up, well, when I used to be breaking up with men and I was a lot less regulated in how I carry myself, I was a menace. Like, I would say really horrible things over text. And I learned to stop being this way when one guy who I was off and on dealing with for years, this was before I learned better boundaries. But one guy who I was off and on dealing with for years, I used to say, when me and him would fight, because we used to fight a lot, we used to just trigger each other. When we would fight, I would send him really mean things over text. It wasn't like me just being like, you're ugly, boo. It was more just me saying things along the lines of like, you should consider yourself lucky that I even dated you. Do you know, I was just wasting my time. I was only with you because I was bored. You know, just being really horrible. He would say to me, you know, there's certain things that you should just learn to not put in writing, because even if you've changed your mind and you've spoken with that person and you've mended things, you've still written it to that person. So I learned to say it over the phone instead. I'm joking. Where I'm going with this is, like, I learned to better regulate myself. So now when I have situations with guys, I'm not scared to go back to being single, because my life was fun when you met me. Like, let's not get shit twisted. Like, I live a very fun life. My life is not perfect. I don't ever want to paint my life as perfect just because I have a level of awareness that guides and governs the way I interact with men. My life is not perfect, but I experience a lot of joy. I feel very free, largely because I'm not bound to any man. You know when you first start dating a guy, and would you call it honeymoon stage? Sort of like the butterfly, fanny flutter stage, where it's like you're really impacted by stuff he does, whether that's positive or negative. I hate it there. I hate that stage so much. I hate when I start to realize that I like a guy. It's so annoying. I really don't like it. It's like, oh, here we go again. I hate it. It's annoying because it's like, oh, now I'm going to start feeling impacted by your behavior. Ew. Now I'm going to have to start thinking ahead for when you inevitably do something that's going to piss me off. How am I going to penalize and tax you for this? Because it will happen. Now, you might be thinking, listening to this, this sounds like a very strange way to go about things. Why must you always anticipate someone pissing you off? Why can't you just relax? Well, the thing is, I am quite relaxed, you know? I have come to a place where I have made peace with the reality that no matter how well things are going with men, because they are human beings and they are fallible, there are going to be times when they will slip up and hurt your feelings. Sometimes it might not even be a slip up. Sometimes it might just be they are doing something that they're used to getting away with other people. It is not personal. They're used to doing something that they get away with other women. And they just were of the assumption that it's going to work with you, because most men expect women to be emotionally accommodating. Most men expect women to make excuses for them. Most men expect that women will just take it lying down. So it's not personal when they try you. It's a pattern, okay? So when your turn inevitably comes in the pattern, it's about learning, okay, oh, it's finally happened. Well, I always had a feeling this was going to happen, so I am not going to be erratic or over-emotional. Here's how I'm going to handle it. Do you get what I'm saying? But when you're single for a long time, you have enough time to be comfortable with yourself. So should you decide that you're going to have to put him on timeout, the timeout isn't going to be a situation of this hurts me as much as it's going to hurt you. You know that whole thing of like when you have to cut someone off but you really like them and you feel like you're punishing yourself by removing your own self from that environment. This is not that. Yeah, 10% of that feeling may exist, but you have to take ownership of the reason why you're making this choice. Do you get what I'm saying? Because I feel like I experienced that, you know, I've even recently experienced that. And I spoke about this in length on my Patreon in a written text post where someone sent in a question about a guy who they were getting on really well with, this guy. And at some point in the line, he just started ghosting. And it was very out of the blue and hard to deal with. And I've experienced that in the past. And it's not even that long ago, but in the past, I've experienced this with a guy who there was no fucking, there was no romantic dealings with this guy, but he kind of came out of nowhere into my life. And we got, I don't want to say we got close, but I mean, close is not really the right word, but I think we formed a connection based on our mutual intellect and shared desire for creativity very quickly. And we used to see each other really often. I would hang out really often. And we both had a lot of respect for each other. I'm saying had like I've offed him in my head. I mean, I have offed him now in my head. Well, I will get to that part in the story. Stay with me. We both had a very similar kind of appreciation for creativity, very similar personality type. I felt very understood by him, and I'm sure he felt very understood by me. I know for sure he was attracted to me, but he went about it very respectfully, which is what made me feel safe to be close to him. He never tried to do anything inappropriate because I did my part to create an environment where there would not be any comfort to do that anyhow, willy-nilly. But I know he was attracted to me, and I know that that was part of the motivation for him spending lots of time with me. So we were friends. And out of nowhere, he ghosted me. So on my Patreon, I spoke about how I dealt with that. It's quite a long post for those who like reading. I like to go into detail on my Patreon because I noticed, like, I have patrons on my Patreon who really love reading what I write. Because I'm a very cerebral person. I say this a lot. because that's how I am. Like, I like to discuss things down to a granular level. Like, I really like to go into the crevices of the point I'm making because I want it to be as digestible as possible. I'm not big on academic words. I think that that is what people do to show off. And I think that being too academic can alienate people. So my approach is a lot more to the point, for lack of a better phrasing. So this guy, we had a really good closeness and he disappeared. So I let him disappear. I'm not going to come and be like, gong, 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 where are you? Why have you disappeared? Guys, you got to leave that behavior in 2019. Okay? We are now edging into 2024. Leave that hole. When a man disappears on you, accept it. Because he will be back. And by the time he comes back, you will have had enough time to think about what you want to say to him. So that if slash when you do get the opportunity to say your piece to him, it will not be emotional. It will be very, very relaxed and rational. So much so that it will bruise his ego. Men expect you to be emotional, which takes us back to my point of this is why it's important to know how to be single. If you don't know how to be single, men will have control over you emotionally because you're constantly scared of the alternative, which is being single. You see, you're either in a relationship or you're single. Either in a relationship or you're single. You see relationship as escape and happiness and joy and being loved. You see single as being abandoned and being alone and being unwanted. You can feel loved by while being single. I would say for those who are familiarizing themselves with being single and coming to grips with what that reality looks and feels like, I would say, you know, do the things that you might read on the internet, like buy yourself flowers, take yourself out, go to places and learn how to eat on your own and not see it as everyone's looking at me because I'm alone. Girl, no one cares. Oh, please. But I wouldn't go as far as constantly pushing that as the only way to like enjoy being single. I think sometimes part of getting used to being single is acceptance. You don't have to over romanticize it for you to accept it. Do you get what I mean? I think romanticization is a necessary part of the process for those who are completely new to it. But there's something powerful about experiencing Valentine's Day and treating it as a normal last day. Like, there's something that feels quite interesting about, because every Valentine's Day that passes where I've been single, especially in this later portion of my life where I'm a lot more refined and evolved in my grown womanhood, I don't even do the whole I'm gonna buy myself flowers today and be nice to myself because no one's doing it for me. Girl, I'll be treating it like it's a normal last Tuesday, because the idea of me buying the flowers and treating myself because no one else did it for me implies that I'm still putting emphasis and weight and value on the idea of someone doing a romantic gesture for me. Because if you're doing them things for yourself throughout the year at random points, when it feels convenient and when you can afford to and when you just feel like you want to, Valentine's Day is a normal last day. Take away the power from Valentine's Day and also learn how to be happy for people who are in love. Like, as much as I'm single and I'm chilling, I don't feel like I'm single because nobody wants me. I feel like I'm single because I'm stunning and I'm picky and I have to be picky because this pussy is too good. This pussy is radioactive, babe. Like, but aside from that, I'm single because, you know, I'm just not interested enough by what's around. It's like if you're going window shopping, you're not going to buy something because people have been looking at you window shopping and you might as well buy something so you don't leave the shop empty-handed. Oh, fine, I'll just get this then. No. You go window shopping, you look at the, pick up the hand, you look at the leather, you look at the materials, turn it around. Oh, that's nice, but I don't like the sparkle. Put it down where you found it. Go look at something else. Oh, I like that skirt. I don't think it will fit me though. But I like the style. That pleating is very fascinating. Put it down back on the hanger where you found it. Don't be making work hard for retail workers. Thank you. Put it back where you found it. And then you go to another shop, maybe a shop that you've been curious to go to for a while. You go, you might even go and try things on. Oh, that's nice. You don't buy anything, but you enjoyed the experience of window shopping. That's how I feel being single. Baby, I'm a window shopper. I'm just here, innit? Like, I don't feel like I have to buy anything because I'm in the shop. Stop feeling like you have to date men because men are around. Like, you are alive. You are here. You're never going to be here again. You're never going to experience this moment again. Step outside of that bubble of seeking things outside of yourself and start to feel comfortable with what's within, because it means that you then get more comfortable with being picky. And this is how you start to be able to embody your standards without feeling this sense of like, oh, but how do I? Oh, but I'm not sure. You don't sound like that person who's constantly panicking over every decision. You're not that person who, when you go on a date with a guy who finally meets your standards and expectations, you're scared. You're scared of, oh, this could be the one. Girl! When you go on a date with a guy and you've been single for a while, and this guy happens to, on paper, so far, be what you like, you have to be relaxed. You still have to treat it like you are Simon Cowell, okay? This is the X Factor. You are Simon Cowell. You are the head judge. He has to impress you. You're not going to laugh at every single joke. Sometimes hold the laugh in, small. You have to make him work for that laughter. Make him work, okay? This is not about you being disingenuous or manipulative. Come out of that line of thinking, because it's not serving you. I'm talking about when you want someone to impress you, you need to see how the lengths that they will go, because that will tell you whether this is somebody who intends to date you properly. Men have to work for your approval. That's the only way they're going to respect you. I am sorry, that doesn't sound like the way that you want it to sound. Men don't love like women do. Men don't even handle being single like women do. That's what I'm saying. You need to form an allyship with your singleness, because that's what's going to save you. That's why I'm so relaxed. Guys, I'm telling you, I've been in rooms. I've been in environments with men who, like, on paper, he's my type on paper, right? He's tall. He's got money. He's handsome. Great. That's nice. But if I don't like you, I'm not going to make a decision out of scarcity mindset, or making a decision out of, oh, you never know when you'll come across this kind of guy again. You will come across a guy like that again. There are many men. Many men. So many men. You're going to keep on meeting men for the rest of your life, unfortunately. Or, fortunately, depending on your perspective, especially if the men you're going to keep on meeting are men of the caliber that you desire. Thank you. So, relax. Fucking relax. You're the prize. You're the star. I know a lot of women hate hearing you're the prize, because they see it as, oh, you're objectifying and commodifying. That's what I'm saying. Modern feminism is holding you back. Sometimes people ask me, are you a feminist? And at the moment, I still say yes, but I feel like I need to start saying no, guys, because what the general consensus defines as feminism isn't what I define as feminism. So it's either I might be on some futurist, philosophical type shit where I have a new definition of feminism that everyone else hasn't caught up to, or my shit just isn't feminism. Because the definition of feminism that everybody seems to be following is that, like, oh, men deserve to be included in feminism too. Well, that's really silly, guys, because feminism wouldn't need to exist if men weren't oppressing us. So why are you trying to shoehorn your oppressor into your own liberation journey? Please tell me. I'm waiting. Right then. Another tenet of feminism that I just don't fuck with is like, oh, but men are having a hard time too. Yes, men are having a hard time too, because they created and uphold and reinforce a patriarchy that clearly isn't, they're not struggling enough to get rid of it. They're struggling, but the struggle clearly is not enough, because when men are inconvenienced enough by something, trust me, they'll find a solution for it. That's how we got Viagra. I've spoken about this before on a past episode, but I'm going to bring it up again. Do you guys know? Did you know? Science 101. Are you listening? Did you know that Viagra was created because scientists were trying to create a medication for people who experience period pain? And at some point in the chemical composition, when they were trialing it, they discovered that at this point in the product's creation, this particular medication could create lasting boners for men. So they stopped their research at that point and decided to recreate this product that is now known as Viagra. So men were so inconvenienced by erectile dysfunction that they created Viagra. So until we see a world where men are so inconvenienced by patriarchy that they choose to abolish it, it's not going anywhere, girl. So you trying to shoehorn men into your feminism, let me know how that works out for you in 10 years' time. Because it ain't going to be me doing that. My feminism involves a praxis that is about self-centered liberation for women who choose to date men. I strongly believe in taking men's money. Yes, because men are wealth hoarders. Yes. I strongly believe that financial liberation matters. Yes, because women cannot live without money. I'm not about to be going round and round with feminists who want to be doing their sympathy for men. You guys can sympathize with men all you like. Men are not sympathizing with you, though. They be in the comment section when you're talking about patriarchy, saying shit like, yeah, but women abuse men too. Why do they only bring that up when a woman is talking about men being abusive towards women? Because their goal is to silence you. And these are the people that you're shoehorning into your liberation. Couldn't be me. Anyway, before I wrap up this episode, I want to remind you, being single is a form of being chosen because you've chosen what? Yourself. There we go. So if you are living your life in fear of not being chosen, don't forget that you do the choosing, whether that's you choosing men or you choosing yourself. Have a fucking nice day. And I'll see you soon, either on this podcast or over at patreon.com/theslumflower if you want to continue this conversation.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.